kind of Esther.
Leah Esther.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hannah.
Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing fine. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, you too. You too.
And Rosh Chodesh. We have too many holidays, don't we?
I'm just thinking we have a Hannah Esther, and a Leah Esther on a phone, and it's like we're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
great.
Funny?
Mm-hmm.
With a teacher with an oak that has the same root, too. So
You're right. Wow.
And Bernice is a Han, too. So.
Excuse me?
Bernice is Hannah. Her Hebrew name is Hannah.
I don't know what it means.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She told us that. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. If he's not on, I'm like 5 after, I'll text him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he said last time.
Okay. I missed the last 2 days because we had yearly doctor appointments, you know, ear doctor, and then it was my last checkup for my eyes, and I got my prescription.
Uh-huh.
So then I wait 7 to 10 days for my new glasses. And my computer, it's not doing well, and they can't fix it, so I'm going to have to be looking for another computer.
My computer, just the screen just went blank. So
well,
I don't know what I...
giving me this method. So, maybe we've got somebody.
Hanukkah Samara.
Oh, we were just saying that.
Well, today is the 7th candle. Meaning tonight is the 7th candle. And what we're going to read, and you may get some items regarding Rosh Chodesh, because in the normal years, most years, the month of Tibet has 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, but this year it is only 1. And Light of Chesed is going into the vessel of Bina, which means all of the others move down, and the light of Malchut is in the vessel of Yisod. And the Vayesha De'ayin is the head of nothingness. And this corresponds to the force of pleasure. Please mute your phones because I am getting static by pressing *6. And so today will be the 2nd day of Tibet this year. And there is an Hit Bonenut, our contemplation of the 7 candles, gaze at the 7 lights for this 7th night of Hanukkah. See these 7 candles as representing the force of nature, in the 7 days of the week. Contemplate the word Hateva, which means nature. And it's Gematria of Elohim, 86. Now recognize that 1 week is 7 days. Recognize that connection to the name Elohim. Feel the pleasure of the seven lights in front of you and know that Elohim, 1 week being nature, is a miracle. Regular, normal nature is also a miracle. And this is the answer to the question. Since the miracle was the oil of 1 day lasting 8 days, there's really only a miracle of 7 days. So why do we keep the holiday for 8 days and not seven? And the answer is that the normal, everyday nature is also a creation of Hashem. It's also a miracle. As you look at the seven lights, know that Hashem is God. Hashem Hu HaElohim, from the Yom Kippur Ne'ilah conclusion, and we've had a whole essay on that, a whole class on these three words. And visualize those three words in front of you, seven times, one on top of the other. Put one on each candle. Look at the candles.
Brandela.
Say this verse to yourself. Hanukkah is the time when we finish the work we did starting in Elul through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, and Hoshana Rabbah, when this verse is repeated numerous times. Decide what personal spiritual work still needs to be done before Hanukkah's last night, which will be the eighth candle. Over each candle, place the letter Aleph, which stands for the number one. 1 week is the 7 days. Now, over each candle, place the name of Hashem. Know that seven times Hashem is equal to two times the word Amen. Amen is 91, two times is 182. And continue to say Amen over each candle. Here's a non-Kabbalist spiritual teaching. One of the interesting laws concerning Hanukkah candles is that they must be placed no higher than approximately 35 feet off the ground, so that they might be seen by passersby. The core reason for candle lighting on Hanukkah is persumei, nisa, publicizing the miracle. The miracle, as the rabbis understood it, was that one vial of oil was found after the temple had been defiled, and that vial burned for 8 days until fresh, pure oil could be made. The possibility that purity can remain amongst the impurity of the world, that righteousness I can stand even though through the onslaught of injustice, that good can remain in a world that sometimes seems to be more and more negative, more and more evil. And this is the miracle of Hanukkah. The obligation then is to announce that miracle to the world. It must be seen in the streets. It is not enough to support justice loudly behind closed doors. One has to demonstrate justice and demonstrate for justice at street level so it can be seen, so it can be heard, so it can be felt. Another idea. Currently in America, there is a discussion regarding justice and responsibility having to do with free speech. One cannot scream fire in a crowded theater, as many know. Can someone express peaceful protest that causes someone unstable to act out of violence? That is a question. What is the responsibility of the society and the protesters for that action? This is also an idea dealing with justice and the Talmud does discuss this. This is about justice in Hanukkah. What is your answer to the question? What do you think about this question? And as I said, we will be also discussing this eighth candle. While it is on the third day of Tevet today, here's information based on the second day, which is the seventh candle tonight. On the eighth day, it's called Zot Hanukkah. Zot means this is. This is Hanukkah. Are we saying that only by lighting the eight candles is Hanukkah, but the rest of the candles, the rest of the lighting, isn't Canada? Isn't Hanukkah? Of course, we're not saying that. But it sounds like we are when we call this one day Zot Hanukkah. Why do we call it Zot Hanukkah? Because this is the day, the evening, where the right action, the lighting of the candles, is at the right time, which is in the right place. And this is why we can say the light of Bina comes into the vessel of Bina. The light of Chesed comes into the vessel of Chesed. The light of Gevura comes into the vessel of Gevura. The light of Tiferet comes into the vessel of Tiferet. The light of Netzach comes into the vessel of Netzach. The light of Hod comes into the vessel of Hod. The light of Yesod comes into the vessel of Yesod. And the light of Malchut, after its journey through these seven previous candles, the light of Malchut comes into the vessel of Malchut. The right actions in the right locations at the right time. The number two is from the famous song from Pesach, is the line below. Shinaim ani yodea, shnei luchot tabrit. I know too the two tablets of the covenant. And the Ben Ish Chai notes the following twos. The holy name Yud and Hey, which has two letters, created two worlds. This world and the world that is coming. The name El, which has two letters. The letter Bet, which created the universe and which began the Torah, and which number is two. The tablets of the covenant, which were two. The holiness of the ark, which had two side rings. The secret of the cherubim, which were two. Rachel, who gave birth with two sons, Yaakov and Benjamin. The mitzvah of the continual offering, which was brought twice daily. The mitzvah of the bread, which was brought on Shabbat, and were two loaves from most Shabbat tables. The mitzvah of the tefillin of the head and the hand, which are two mitzvot. The letter Yud of Hashem's great name, which totals 20 in Gematria, and thereby two in Mispar Katan. The sake of the letters, Yair Hashem Panav Elecha, with Yehunecha, which also totals 20 letters, and two in Mispar Katan. The sake of the holy name of 72, Yud Hey Hey, which totals 20, or two in Mispar Katan. The sake of the secret of the holy Kanafim, the holy wings, which totals 200, or two in Mispar Katan. The Aleph Aleph, which illuminates the Malchut, which is two Alephs, and has a total Gematria, when spelled out, of 222. Rabbi Monk, in his book on the letters, notes that two represents the concept of duality, for there is diversity in every part of creation. And in the Midrash of Devarim Rabbah, it elaborates on the interaction of all the pairs in creation. Here are just a few. Heaven gives light and rain. The earth receives it and produces its fruit. The moon reflects the light that is radiated by the sun. Adam and Eve were a pair not complete without the other. Everything earthly is embedded in plurality. Absolute oneness exists only in the divine. My commentary. I think the above teaching could be expressed better when, from the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag's, where he says or implies, hints, that the absolute oneness exists only with an appreciation for the diversity. Obviously, Hashem, who has created everything, does appreciate the diversity. To be more like Hashem, we have to appreciate the diversity. In our world, there are many species of creation being lost and disappearing. No one is asking what is the spiritual reason behind this. The human organizations are asking, who causes it to disappear? Since obviously I do not intend this to happen. And this is the usual human reaction to point out and away from myself. In my opinion, these loss of species is meant to teach an appreciation for the diversity of the creation and for mankind to use this as a motivation to learn about DNA manipulation in its complete pattern. Mankind experiments in the physical and is moving towards a state where it can experiment within a computer simulation. This is my opinion. Please ask yourself this same question. What's the spiritual cause of the disappearance of so many species? And what is your answer to this question? All things created for man, for man's use, they come in pairs. There is the Torah, the written and the oral, the mitzvot, the positive and the negative, the intermediaries, Moshe and Aaron, the world, heaven and earth, the luminaries, the sun and the moon, and man, male and female. The mitzvot came in two tablets. There are two drives, the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer Hara. There are two worlds, this world and the world that is coming. The Kavanot, after lighting the candles, they hit Boninut, the contemplation. Note the eight candles. See how in most Hanukkah menorahs, the shamash is in the middle when there are four sets of twos, one on each end, one closer, and one on each side of the shamash. With two, we have the potential for conflict, which is why the third day is the resolver, the balance point. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Yitzhak and Ishmael, Esav and Yaakov, Yehuda and Yosef, Menashe and Ephraim. Twos are pretty problematic until we get to Moshe and Aaron. It needn't be that way. If we see the godly spark in you and you see it in me, why should there be a conflict? The gift of two prevents us from being alone and opens us up to the real work to create harmony. May all of your terrible twos be resolved. And I am adding, except for your children's terrible twos, which is necessary for the process of their growth. One of the biggest problems with two is shown through our second mitzvah, the second Esther Dibrot. You shall not have any other gods before me. This is the root commandment against idolatry. Now, few of us bow down to spiritual idols anymore, or physical idols anymore. But we still continue to worship money or power or sensations. The energy of the new month of Tibet is anger. When we get angry, we worship ourselves. I'm angry. Look what happened to me. Look what she said to me. Look who cut me off in traffic. Road rage, you name it, all forms of anger. When we get angry, it is usually not holy anger, and it can lead to self-worship, feeding our ego instead of surrendering to Hashem. This is the anger that is generated by the evil eye. The evil eye does not acknowledge the good and the godly in people or in life circumstances. We need the power of the light of Hanukkah, especially the light of this last day of Hanukkah, Zot Hanukkah, to help us rectify the evil eye and to reveal the good, the Tov, in the month of Tevet. The good in whatever exists, the good in whatever happens to us, with us. Always remember, in the month of Tevet, the ozone layer is not acting. It's not working. The only way we can remain in balance in this month, and especially this month where there is only one day of Rosh Chodesh, and that one day is true also in the exile. There's only way is using the tool of binding by striking. Why is it two different descriptions? Binding, striking. Are they opposites? Or are they unifying? This month of Tevet is an auspicious time to work on our anger through seeing the good that is in others, as well as uncovering the good in life challenges. There can be fire, but it does not have to be anger. There can be passion, but it does not have to be anger. When Isaac allowed himself to be bound by Abraham, metaphorically, binding Givura, strength and power, to loving kindness, when we are in balance, our strength and power is used to promote loving kindness. This is the meaning of the teaching in the Kabbalah that even after Mashiach, there will be a negative system, so that children can still be brought in the early parts of the time of Mashiach. This is the fire of passionate attachment, that of the wick to the oil and to the flame, in the candles burning in front of you. The word Zot is spelled Zion Vav Tav. These letters are one female and one male, and one representing the completion. If you need to know which is which, send me a question by email. A deep understanding of the word Tov, or good, is when the desires of the female is totally fulfilled by the male. This only happens at the end of the process, where the correct light fulfills the correct vessel. In simple terms, the light of Keter is in the vessel of Keter, and the light of Malchut is in the vessel of Malchut, and all other lights are in the correct vessels. Zot Hanukkah is the 91st day of the year. We know, the students of Kabbalah, that 91 is the gematria of the eight-letter name. Yo, ah, hey, da, wa, nu, hey, yo. Yud Aleph, Hey Dalad, Vav Nun, Hey Yud. The unification of the name of Hashem and the name Adonai. There is much more to learn from Zot Hanukkah regarding the meaning of good and evil. Our meditation, the hit prototypes. It is Zot Hanukkah, the eighth and final night and day. Baby, it is cold and dark outside. We need to shine the light, the eight lights, to pave the way through the next 3 months of winter. On this second day or third day of Tevet, unlike the Capricorn, we can choose to refuse to see duality. Rather, we unite the giver and the receiver. The Mashpia, the giver, the sharer, is the name Hashem, standing for Tiferet, or Zeranpin. The receiver, the Mekubal, is the name Adanut, or Adonai, standing for Malchut, or the Nukva. Their names stand for the basic Kabbalistic unification of both energies into one. Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo. Yud Aleph, Hey Dalad, Vav Nun, Hey Yud. Sit in a chair, take a deep breath, and gaze into the eight lights, and contemplate that wherever there may seem to be duality, there is only one unity, one Hashem. And we see this eight letters of this unity poised over the eight candles. We keep up this intention, taking the light deeply, breathing in one letter, breathing out with the next, going from right to left and then back to the beginning. Take the light of Chesed, that of the second day or the third day, and spread the love light around. The world is built with Chesed. Before eating our last latke, or sufganiyut, or cheese of the season, try to linger in the lights for 30 minutes. We each pledge to take the personal lessons learned in these 8 days of chinuch, education, of Chanukah, dedication, into the rest of the year, the rest of our year. Here is a non-Kabbalist spiritual teaching. The deepest yet also the simplest truth of Hanukkah is that it is a holiday without a miracle. The real power of the miracle, however, is not that one vial of pure oil was found after the temple was defiled by occupying forces. Neither is the real power that one vial of oil burned for 8 days when it should have burned only for one. The real power is the story of the miracle itself. In the earliest accounts of the Hanukkah story, the books of Maccabees, and even in the earliest liturgy, that of the Al-Hanisim prayer that we still recite today, the focus is on the military victory. The rabbis refocused the holiday to celebrate a miracle of light. This is the powerful story, a narrative of uncontrolled violence, which is what an armed conflict becomes, is replaced by a vision of light. Tonight, as we shine the full power of the Hanukkah lights into the public domain, let us draw from that miracle and proclaim that violence only ever begets violence and darkness, and only light begets more light. This is our charge. This is our time. This is the tikkun of our generation. Does anybody have any questions? I wish you all Shabbat Shalom.
I have a question.
Yes. Go ahead.
Do we light our Hanukkah candles before or after Havdalah service?
After Havdalah.
Okay, thank you.
You light your candles before Shabbat candles, and you light your candles after Havdalah.
Thank you.
Reminding you of 6 o'clock Havdalah on the conference call, 7 o'clock a Zohar class for the new Parsha Vayigash, and 10:30 Sunday morning, there will be a class on the meditation of the Yehud Ner, which can be utilized for any candle lighting, not just Hanukkah. And also on Sunday at 2 o'clock, there will be a review for many, but the class in Atlanta physically will be hearing for the first time the basic class 5, which is binding by striking. Shalom to all. Shabbat
shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Kodesh Shabbat Tov shalom. As well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.